Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Well, if Mike Pence's job is to bring Christian conservatives to the altar with Donald Trump, there's still a big question there. What happens when the honeymoon is over? It's time to call on radio host Hugh Hewitt, because he's the marriage counselor here, if you like, in this admittedly shaky relationship. Hewitt talked to Donald Trump in front of 15 million Hugh Hewitt Show listeners more than a dozen times throughout the presidential campaign. He moderated Republican debates. And at one point, when Donald Trump was heard talking sexual assault on an Access Hollywood bus, Hewitt said Donald Trump should drop out. And then by Election Day, Hugh Hewitt was a self-described Trump backer. Hugh Hewitt is out with a new book this week. It's called The Fourth Way, A Conservative Playbook for a Lasting GOP Majority. Conservatives, GOP hawks, and the Republican establishment leaders that Donald Trump abused during the campaign, they're all in the bridal sweep with Donald Trump now. And Hugh Hewitt says he thinks he knows how to make it work.
Trump represents a completely different presidency than anything. I'm 60 years old, and I've been doing this since Gerald Ford in 1976. He is completely one of a kind, and yes, he is a Republican. Most of his instincts in the campaign are conservative. Most of his program is traditional Reaganaut. His judges, beginning with the Supreme Court nomination, hopefully will be in the mode of Scalia. He promised me that on my radio show. He's promised that to many other people. So I think we could thrive. There will be some very contentious points. He began Monday his presidency meeting with business leaders, threatening a tariff, an import fee. That is not out of the Reagan playbook. That will be a source of disagreement between Leader McConnell and Speaker Ryan and the president. But it's possible that it could be a second era of Reagan-esque goodwill among and in the right, but it remains to be seen.
And what about all the other insults, though, Hugh, that you're going to have to take in the meanwhile? I mean, you already mentioned tariffs. Donald Trump saying 35% tariff. I mean, I spend some time around Paul Ryan, and I read George Will, and I read Hugh Hewitt. No, but none of you guys are for that. Don't touch Medicare. Let's negotiate on drug prices. Let's pull out of trade agreements, which is already happening. I mean, 1,000 cuts and 1,000 wounds you're going to have to take to make this marriage work.
He won, Todd. He did not run on NAFTA, as I did and everyone who supported Reagan did in 1980 and in 1984 and in 1992, and as George W. Bush embraced. Every Republican has been a free trader up and until President Trump. But he won, and that means he was tapping into a lot of dismay in the interior of the United States, which is not felt by coastal elites. It's almost a cliche now, but I am from Trumbull County, Ohio, which is a deep blue county. It's where Jim Traficant, the old populist sort of crazy man of the house, was from before he went to prison and then died.
He got beamed up.
Yeah, before he beamed up. Exactly right. And Jim Traficant represented the American carnage that you heard the president refer to. Shuttered steel mills, Republic, Copper Weld, U.S. Steel. I know them well. I drove by them every day. And a dislocation of the American automobile worker that used to be thriving at Packard and have three shifts at General Motors in Lordstown and not two. And it goes on and on. So he spoke to that in an visceral way. America said yes. Now, they may not yet realize that a trade war is the quickest way to destroy prosperity for everybody. But I don't think he wants one. I simply, when he withdrew from TPP on Monday, fulfilling a promise, he served notice that he will be negotiating bilaterally with countries such as Japan and the Philippines, not multilaterally. He's not opposed to trade. He is simply opposed to those elaborate agreements which are impenetrable to those who do not have international lawyers at their side and who feel their real effects in their hometown. So he won. I didn't win. So I think the Republicans have to bend on that.
Welcome back. It's Todd Zwillick. So Hugh Hewitt thinks he can help conservative Republicans stay in a mutually respectful marriage with Donald Trump. But you know how marriages can go. And Hugh Hewitt says that there's a chance, and not a small one, that this marriage could end up in a very messy divorce.
There's really only one tool in the Article 1 branch toolbox, and that is impeachment. Articles voted and a trial held. If abuse of power occurs, Republicans have already impeached a president, one of their own, Richard Nixon. Democrats never have. They oppose the impeachment of Bill Clinton. Republicans are more than willing to use their Article I authority. I don't think it will come to that. As I also write in the fourth way, I think that Mr. Trump, President Trump, will self-regulate with regards to those occasions which would give rise to both a defeat at the polls in 2018 and or any sort of impeachment proceeding. I do.
Why do you think that? Have you seen any signs of self-regulation so far?
Yes, the cabinet.
You have?
The cabinet, and with the selection of General now Secretary Mattis, with the selection of General now Secretary Kelly, he reached for two nonpartisan individuals for the two most important departments. Nonpartisan. They're not Democrat or Republican, although I am told both of them lean to the social liberal side of the aisle, but I don't know. I've only met General Mattis once, and I've never met General Kelly. In the selection of Reince Priebus as his chief of staff, Reince is the quintessential Scott Walker, Paul Ryan, Hugh Hewitt Republican.
And certainly, so, but those are personnel choices, and we're talking about personal regulation of his own personal behavior, whether it's toward the public, whether it's with his finances and ethics, his ability to resist being goaded. All of these things are his personal weaknesses that we're aware of that aren't reflected in his choice of Secretary of Defense or Chief of Staff.
I don't see that changing, by the way. I do not see his personal behavior changing with regards to Twitter, for example. I believe he has found and believes himself to have found a new way to communicate with the American people that cuts you and me out. You and I both work and live in the intermediation business, right? We used to translate for people. He's the Rosetta Stone of American politics via Twitter. He has 47 million impressions on people the moment he takes to social media. If I could get him as a bookseller, if I could get him to say anything good or bad about the fourth way, I'd be the happiest man in America, because it carries on forever. And we knew that from the debates when we had 21 million people watch the first CNN debate. It dropped off for the second, third, and fourth one that I did. But he has a command on attention. Now, I don't think he's going to change his use of that. He is, more than anyone else, Todd, a showman. And he actually embraced the comparison with P.T. Barnum. He understands better than anyone, really, how media magnifies both flaws and positives. And given that he enjoys being popular, he will figure out how to make the car drive best. That's a trial and error process. The argument over crowd size, for example, was not useful. It's abandoned. And the iterations of Trump that we will watch, the president will change much more than President Obama changed, President Bush changed, President Clinton changed. He will change rapidly in office. That's my prediction.
You know, it's admirable in a lot of ways that somebody, a conservative who, you know, in a way lost, you feel like somebody took over the Republican Party who wasn't from your mold, and now you say he won, we have to go in his direction. But I have been talking to some Trump supporters and sources who I know, knowing that I was going to talk to you, and they say these conservatives, these George Wills, Hugh Hewitts, establishment conservatives, they're corporatists. A tax cut is great, you know, conservative judges, definitely, we want those. But these traditional conservatives, you know, we don't want the lecture. We don't want the checklist. And frankly, we don't really want them. If they vote with us, that's great. Otherwise, forget them. Do they want you? Are they interested
in you?
I'm
not sure I'm not Charlie Brown in the football. I'm not sure I'm not. I could very well be Charlie Brown in the football again. However, that voice that you hear, and I hear it all the time, they call my show every day. So I don't think we want to amplify beyond what that voice is. A lot of people, like my colleague Dennis Prager, says that Donald Trump was their 17th choice, but he was preferable to Secretary Clinton. I believe the underlying Republican Party is much stronger and bigger than President Trump, but needs to work with President Trump because it's a unified Republican government. The 52 Republican senators, all of them, all 52 of them are non-Trumpian. Of the 240 members of the plus members of the House of Representatives, there are perhaps a dozen who are of the party of Trump. And while there are very loud and vocal proponents of Trumpism, meaning particularly protectionism within the Republican Party, and of a particular aggressiveness with regards to the media, which isn't very Paul Ryan-esque and is definitely not Mitch McConnell-like, they are important, but not a majority. We're kind of stuck. It's a shotgun marriage. And the fourth way is how you make that work. And it's a lot of this and it's a lot of that and a negotiation. I'm actually very optimistic that President Trump understands that as well as anyone, because he's a developer. you can't have everything, and you can't give nothing. You got to go both ways. And so the party of Paul Ryan, of which I am a member, and the party of Donald Trump, of which he is the leader of the Republican Party and the country at this part, will come together, or they'll be out of power in 2018, Todd. It'll be worse in 2018 for a divided Republican Party than it was for a united Democratic Party in 2010.
And so then, before we let you go, Hugh Hewitt, you know, it's time for your prediction. Everybody who writes about your book leads with the stipulation that you make that this could all end in impeachment. This could all crash down. So this shotgun wedding, you know, predict it now. Does it end in marital bliss, or does it end in a messy, messy, awful divorce?
My prediction is he's going to get reelected large. Bigly, as he would say. Bigly. I mean, we're all kind of still coping with the fact that we were so monumentally wrong.
No question, and present company included. Hugh Hewitt is a nationally syndicated radio host and a mentor in spirit of mine because of that. He's also author of The Fourth Way, The Conservative Playbook for a Lasting GOP Majority. Hugh Hewitt, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Todd. That was mine as well.